Hey, Fanboy Nation.
This is your pal, Daffy Duck, and you're watching.
You're watching.
We're watching. You're watching Fanboy.
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 A fanboy, etc.
Fanboy Nation.
Dad, I assume Tom.
Rachel, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I cannot complain. We get to talk about Upload Season 3. We're going to have a good time. You know, congratulations on the continued success of this series.
Thank you.
You know, when the series originally came out, I thought it was an interesting and unique concept. And now, just as it continues to flow and picking up where we left off at the end of last season, because I don't want to give away too many spoilers, you know, it just keeps getting more fun in that these are absurd situations where the characters still play them straight, which is where the hilarity mm-hmm. really lies.
That's right.
Yeah. When, you know, you work on a show like this and you get to have that level of lunacy yet fun, how important is it that the straight characters remain in that level and that tone when they are playing just the, you know, these types of performances?
Oh, I definitely think that question Greg Daniels would probably be able to answer better than me, but I'll give it a shot. I think knowing him, it's really important to play it straight. And we incorporate that into our prop design as well and our graphics that we have to do with the background of the show. It's like any time there's a joke that's written, it's better to service the comedy by pretending it's not there, right? Like just make the world as real as possible. I'm sure making the characters as real as possible and the way they perform it. And then the jokes naturally just sort of like bloom out of that because, like you said, they are so absurd sometimes. But I find myself that comedy is always best served straight up, you know, like just make it real, pretend like this crazy stuff's not happening. And that's what sometimes makes it dark and awkward and amazing.
You know, because that's something that's been missing from a lot of recent comedies is that they put them in absurd situations and the performances are so absurd that it's not enjoyable. And here we are just having a good time.
Yeah, that's right. It's like life. I mean, I think the interesting thing about Upload is that life is, it's the haves and have nots, and that we're always showing how the world in the real world is really hard and it's unaffordable and it's demeaning, and the move to go to Lakeview, therefore, or to Upload yourself becomes more appealing option. But within that really hard world, if people are still just finding moments to have fun and love each other and be kind and romantic amongst this sometimes really tough situations, it's more enjoyable, I think, as a process than just like everything going over the top and becoming almost a parody. We don't want Upload to be a parody of the future or of relationships. It's always very, I find Greg's incredibly good at keeping things grounded and finding the heart of a story. And then the world around it is just like my world and your world around us.
You know, is there ever a moment during the production design where, you know, the show's conceptualized long before the metaverse and wanting to live in the metaverse ever really took, you know, form for Facebook? Is there ever a moment where you guys have come up with something and then you look at what Zuckerberg did with Facebook and the metaverse and go, those bastards stole our idea? Or, you know, how did they make it look so cheap when we have such high quality production?
I think that those ideas have been around for a long time, like living online. You know, Sim, I think that it's been talked about since the 80s, but it is sometimes very strange when like Meta comes out and has their bad online version of something that they pitched as being this sort of groundbreaking thing. And you've been thinking about it for your own show for so long and you're sort of like really super excited to see what they've done. And then you're like, oh, that's kind of, you know, not what I imagined. But then we are filmmakers. We are always thinking bigger than real life. But I don't think that anyone, we feel like anyone's stealing any ideas, because I think that we're all moving towards this. So it's in our subconscious or within our literary references already, and have been for quite a while.
You know, going back all the way to the time machine and everything else, that it's interesting to see what the future will hold and then what ideas you guys come up with. As a filmmaker and being in the production side of everything that goes along with this, you know, what are the difficulties in, you know, keeping it realistic looking while being inventive and making it the science fiction aspect that we enjoy so much?
Yeah, it's... The challenges are that you often don't have the money to have like 1,000 self-driving cars on the street, right? Like, or, the time to really build out a whole bunch of products, but you try. So we try to do, the things that we do show in the future really well, but also not make them stand out. So it's not like, here's something in like that stands out. It's so bright and so loud that the rest of the world doesn't feel realistic. So it's better to underplay the product. The handheld devices or whatever we're coming up with, just like, think about it as like the toaster of 1960. Like, they've had them for a while. Used to be a flashy device. Now no one cares. It's just like, take it for granted. So in a way, we want to make the technology look like something that has been taken for granted and is just there and invisible to everyday life. Therefore, we don't have to show it all the time. That when someone does their hand phone or has a self-driving car, it's just like, oh yeah, it's real world, but everything is hidden behind the screens and the integration, and it pops up when you need it and disappears. So not having, I always say, like, not having jazz hands about it, not saying like, hey, you know, technology, future. It's like, huh, technology, thanks. You know, showed you, we did a really good job with that one thing. Now just assume that the rest of it is behind, is in this world. Yeah, it's always budget time. But I as a designer, I always think less is more. Like, don't apologize for not being able to have 1,000 cars. Sometimes you just sort of glaze over. You're watching these shows. You know, it's like thousands of things in your face. The real world is much more sublime than that. It's like, look at my oven back here. Like, it doesn't have even have a button on it. Like, so. This is my inspiration.
Right. Whereas there, I would be freaked out with the oven because I'd be constantly cleaning off the fingerprints.
Yes, that's right. But that's the contrast between Lakeview and the real world, right? It's like even technology in the real world will require you as a human to do something with it to keep it clean and pristine until the robots take over.
Well, we're almost there. You know, I've seen the self-driving cars in my neighborhood, and I know when they put them in that mode because they're worse than the actual drivers.
You know, oh, wow.
Well, some of the things that you've designed, like, well, let's take a look at Star Trek, where the communicator has become the original flip phone, and then they essentially invented the tablet, you know, at least visually. What's one of the things that you've designed that you would like to eventually see become a reality?
I think the hand phone is a good idea. Although it's more of visual effects than like a practical thing that we design. But I think that could be useful, right? Like, and maybe stop us from staring at this thing that we hold all the time. The hologram chair I really liked as a design, like, as if I were to say, if I was an industrial design student, I think this would be my showpiece my senior year. You know, it's just the silhouette of a wingback chair in Lucite that projects the image onto it. So I thought that I was definitely trying to come up with something that felt like, if you were going to design this to work in the real world, how would it be achieved? I think that's achievable. I think that this product could actually happen in the way that it's been conceived in our show. So I'd be excited to see that, just to say, I did that first, you know, kind of thing.
And which one would be the most humorous malfunction of all the designs?
The most humorous? Oh, well, the robot. I mean, sorry, the vacuum cleaner, I think, if that one malfunctioned while he was using it, I think that would be definitely the most humorous. Yeah. It was definitely, and it's not technology, but the big cow thing, that any malfunction there is humorous and disgusting, but it's not, I don't know, I guess it, does it crush the threshold into tech if it's not a real cow? Is this bioengineered? Yeah, I suppose you could say that.
You know, with technology moving so fast and especially on the production mm-hmm. design with you guys, you know, you have your practical effects and you have your digital effects. You know, what has come the furthest from season one to season three in those designs?
The gray zone, I'd say. It was, I mean, and that's in a place that we get to show it off. Mostly Upload is about keeping real to the stories of the characters and the people and stuff like that. And so we're not like just going to invent a new piece of technology just to show that we're in the future. But the gray zone definitely allowed us to build upon the world where the first couple seasons, it was really just a gray zone and then like a silo, a black market. But now it's more saying that people are moving online, buying real estate and beginning to build their own assets, and that those things aren't always pretty. It's kind of like an experiment in just everyone's, you know, just unleashing their consciousness onto it. And their ideas of what's cool and like flashing lights and green and blue and, you know, going back to maybe referencing some of the content that they would have read or watched growing up, like anime and cyberpunk and Blade Runner or Ready Player One or the book Snow Crash, like just putting everyone's like, wouldn't it be cool ideas on top of one another? And then making the gray zone having actually like a contoured environment of mountains, large items, and those grayed out items are the unpurchased assets. So it's all about now turning the gray zone into like a mainstream market as well. It's like, oh, hey, buy this 100 foot elephant or this plot of land and then build your, whatever your dark fantasy is on top of it. So a lot of thought went into how we wanted to build that world out for season three.
Yeah. And in building that world out with season three, you know, the excitement that the audience is having, not only for the technical designs, because they are their own characters in a sense without yeah. overshadowing the main cast. Like how important that is to you, for you as a designer to, as you said, you know, I didn't want to just make this to show it and then ta-da, that's the future. Like, to actually be part of the reality instead of overshadowing it.
So I'm not sure I understand that question. Can you reframe it? Sorry. Sure.
So as you are one of the designers on the show and you're creating mm-hmm. new things as the seasons move on, you know,
yeah.
your designs are essentially their own character in part of the show. But they don't over,
right,
they don't
yes,
outshine okay. the actors. They're part of the story and enhancing the story. How significant is it for you as a designer to make sure that it's an enhancement, not an overshadow?
It's really, really important for me. Like, incredibly. Sometimes I find that production design is the loudest character in the room and it's shouting, look at me, look at me. I'm most impressed when people say, they ask me, where did you film that? Or where did you find that product? I'm like, well, we designed that set. It's fake. And that product we made. So I want the whole world to feel as real as possible, no matter what. Unless it's scripted to be kind of like a show, please, that's usually directed by the story in that you want to notice that thing because you need to notice it now before you know, it blows up later or something like you want the audience to feel like they're piecing the story together. But as a designer, I want to be the quietest character in the room, but also have a voice. I always say like, what is this set saying? This set is saying, it's not about me. It's about you, you know, or this one's saying, notice me because we're telling the story that comes down in the next act. But yes, absolutely.
And how important of that aspect is it to your own life? I mean, you have a beautifully designed home. You know, do you love this one for one design of I made it myself and there's only this one piece that's just going to be here that fits my lifestyle?
Yeah, I do. As a designer, I mean, yes, we've designed all this for our home. I like my home to be a little bit more minimalist because when I go to work, it's everything all the time and it's like dirty alleys or it's bad guy dens or it's beautiful, elegant apartments. So, having a neutral palette at home, but yes, I like to design things that no one else would have. Like if it's not, if you're, and I have this one rule, I have a few rules, but as a production designer, I'm talking to a decorator, new decorator, I'm like, no IKEA, no IKEA lamp at all, please, because they're too mass produced and it takes the audience out of the show. Like everyone will say, oh, I have that lamp in their head. Or so trying to minimize those overly identifiable objects on screen is also really important to me, unless it's done on purpose, because I don't want people to be taken out of the story because, you know, everybody's got that lamp from IKEA in their room. We will not have it in our show.
Yeah. Rachel, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for chatting with me about production design with Upload as it returns to Amazon Prime or Prime Television on October 20th. It's been a great pleasure chatting with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.